Good morning. Well, thank you for being here. If you will take your Bibles and open up to 2 Timothy chapter 2, we're going to look at a few verses there this morning. You know, in God's wisdom, He chose to communicate to us through words. Some of those words are not merely cold, hard, literal facts, but some are but illustrated to us through figurative language. A man by the name of E.W. Bullinger compiled over 200 figures of speech that's been employed in the Bible. So this morning I would like to point out at least 7 metaphors that is employed by Paul in 2 Timothy chapter 2. Now, I'm not going to assume that everyone here knows exactly what a metaphor is. But a metaphor is a figure of speech where a word or a phrase denotes some kind of an object or an idea that is used in place of another. It is to suggest a likeness. And here's an example. Have you ever heard someone say, "I'm drowning in paperwork"? You know, the person is literally not drowning. But the metaphor is used here to show that perhaps that person is overwhelmed with a large amount of paperwork. It's figurative language. So the first one I want us to look at this morning is found in 2 Timothy chapter 2. In verse 2, "And the things that thou hast heard of me among many witnesses, the same commit thou to faithful men who shall be able to teach others also." Now, the metaphor, the word that I'm looking for here is not literally found in this verse, but the idea is. And that is the idea of a steward. A steward is a manager. A steward takes care of other people's property. While the word, again, steward, is not found literally in 2 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 2, we have been entrusted, have we not, with the stewardship of the gospel. Again, the stewardship of the gospel means that we are the manager. We see the supervision of the gospel. We make sure that it is distributed as it should be. We undertake the responsibility to truthfully proclaim the gospel. Again, the word steward is not found in this verse, but the idea is. Notice again what Paul says, "In the things that thou hast heard of me among many witnesses, the same commit thou to faithful men who shall be able to teach others also." Are we not, as individual Christians, stewards of the Word of God? Not only, you know, in our own lives, but in the lives of brothers and sisters around us, and literally in those that are around us. You know, being a steward is a responsibility that we have as Christians, to truthfully and honestly proclaim the gospel of Jesus Christ. And this is exactly what Paul here is telling Timothy. He's telling Timothy to commit what he has learned by the witnesses and Paul himself, the gospel. Commit this to other men who are able to also to proclaim and to teach the gospel. Brothers and sisters, if we are not good stewards of the Word of God, then I believe we have a problem. What happens to do you remember the parable of the talents? One received five, one four, one two, and one. What happened to the one that had the one talent? What did he do? He went and hid it. And when the master came back, he was reprimanded. And even what he had was taken from him because he was not being a good steward of what was given to him by his master. How do you think we're going to fare on the day of judgment if we've not been a good steward of the gospel, the Word of God? Secondly, Paul uses the word here, it's found in 2 Timothy chapter 2, verses 3 and 4, a soldier. Now therefore endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. No man that warreth entangleth himself with the affairs of this life, that he may please him who hath chosen him to be a soldier. A soldier. A soldier fights for his country, doesn't he? I know there are quite a few veterans here. Some has actually seen combat. Who'd they fight for? They fought for this country. The idea here is that we fight for the gospel of Jesus Christ. We fight to uphold the doctrine of Christ. We fight to uphold the truth. What do they say when you're in court? You solemnly swear to tell the truth and nothing but the whole truth? How much more should we proclaim the whole truth? Or can we get by with perhaps only proclaiming the truth that we agree with? Many people do. In many, quote, religious bodies, organizations, they proclaim only the truth that they agree with. But as God's people, as soldiers, are we not to fight for God's word? When we take a look at some of these words here, hardness, literally it has the idea of to suffer misfortune. Now, I don't know about you, but there's been a lot of soldiers who have suffered great misfortune in fighting for the country. There have been many brothers and sisters who literally have suffered misfortune for being a Christian. Many have lost family members over their obedience to the gospel. Many have been disowned by their family because of the gospel. Being a soldier for Christ could, and many times may, cause hardships. Paul is trying to get Timothy to understand that being a soldier for Christ, being a soldier in God's army, is going to be hard sometimes. And I think we tend to forget that. We tend to have an idea many times that because we've had it so good in this country, that we forget about maybe suffering hardship for the cause of Christ. How many of us would put ourselves in a situation that's going to cause us hardship? Most of us wouldn't do it. But being a Christian, many times we have to put ourselves in hardship, misfortune, because of the gospel. Warreth talks about no man that warreth entangled himself with the affairs of this life. He wages war. He fights. Entangled. Literally to be involved with or caught up in. You know, a soldier that fights for his country, they do not get caught up in the affairs of civilians. They are solely there to fight for the country. As Christians, as soldiers, we must endure hardship and not get caught up in other affairs. As soldiers for Christ, we should not entangle ourselves in worldliness. Am I right? Thirdly, Paul says in 2 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 5, "And if any man also strive for masteries, yet he is not crowned except he strive lawfully." Here we have the metaphor of a Christian being an athlete. What does an athlete do? If he wants to be good in the sport that he has chosen to compete, does he not train daily? Most of you here probably have heard of Arnold Schwarzenegger. I read a little blurb about him, but he literally pumped iron. If I remember correctly, somewhere around 5 to 6 hours a day to get his physique the way he wanted it to be, to win Mr. Universe. Most athletes, they train every day. If they're a runner, they run. If they play pool, they play pool every day. If they want to be, you know, a ping pong star, what do? Do they sit on the couch and watch ping pong tournaments? No, they practice. They practice every day. Masteries. If any man also strive for masteries, literally competing in a contest. Do we compete as a contest in a contest? Paul says here that if any man strive for masteries, yet is he not crowned except he strive lawfully? This is literally talking about obeying the rules. You know, how good is an athlete going to be if he gets kicked out of the game all the time because he's breaking the rules? Why do you think they have referees? Because when they see a player, you know, I don't watch anything but really football. I haven't watched that in quite a while. But if a foul is made, if contact is made that's illegal, what do? They throw the flag down on the field. If that happens too many times, and if they do it blatantly, many times they're taken out of the game. So they strive to play by the rules. And the same thing is true with Christianity. Do we not strive to play by the rules? Living by God's word? Living in obedience to the gospel? What would happen if we decided one day that we simply want to do something different? And we start breaking the rules. In other words, we start sinning. What's going to happen? In the end, we'll be kicked out of the game. We'll lose our soul. Because we failed to strive for the masteries. We failed to strive to keep the rules lawfully. Literally, that is the idea of obeying the rules. An athlete must play by the rules, and we as Christians must follow the rules that are laid down for us in God's Word. That's why Paul is telling Timothy here, if you're going to strive for the crown, you have to do it lawfully. You have to do it by obeying the rules. And God has set forth the rules that we are to live by. Fourthly, found in verse 6, the husbandman that laboreth must be first partaker of the fruits. A farmer, he works and prepares his fields. You know, this is the metaphor of farmer. We're not farmers, are we? Some may have been in the past. But Paul's using a metaphor of farmer, someone who prepares the field. The field is our heart. The field is other people's hearts. You remember the parable of the sower? This is basically what's being talked about here. Preparing the field so that when the seed is sown, it'll grow and not be choked out or carried off. Husbandman, literally a farmer. We need to note the description. A hard-working farmer. That's what laboreth is. A hard-working farmer. You know, Dorothy and I went up to Kokomo, I believe, Thursday, before the rain. And the farmers were out hot and heavy, preparing their fields because they knew that rain was coming. Like a farmer, we will also reap a harvest. But that harvest that we will reap depends on what we sow. A farmer, we work and we prepare our field, our hearts, our minds. What do you think? Do you think that as Christians, we should not prepare our hearts and our minds to follow fully God's word? Fifthly, a worker. 2 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 15. Study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. This is a worker. When we look at these words that's found in 2 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 15, a worker is where he's supposed to be, isn't he? If you work in a factory, you don't go to a grocery store to work because your work's in the factory. Or if you work in the grocery store, you don't go to some factory to go to work because your work is in the store. Are we where we should be as workers for the Lord? Look at these words, if you will. 2 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 15. Approved. Literally means tested. The word ashamed. No need to be ashamed. That's what Paul says here. That needeth not to be ashamed. Why? Because he's rightly dividing. And those words there, literally, the rightly dividing, is to guide along a straight path. It's not veering off to the right or to the left, but it's staying on the straight path. This worker works in such a manner as not to be ashamed of his work. Did you notice what Paul is saying here? He's telling us as Christians, just as he was telling Paul or Timothy here, study to show yourself approved. All right, now here's the question. How can you show yourself approved if you're not studying? How can you rightly divide the word of truth if you don't know that word of truth? If we're not studying, if we're not working in God's Word, then what does it say? Perhaps we're going to be ashamed. Have you ever had someone ask you a question concerning something in the Bible? And you stutter, and kick your feet, and look down at the ground, and thinking to yourself, I wish I knew the answer to that. Now, granted, I mean, I'm not saying you ought to be able to answer every question somebody asks. But people many times ask very simple questions. What do I need to do to be saved? That's a simple question. But many times, because we're not a worker, because we're not studying, we're not trying to approve ourselves by studying God's Word, that we fail. We fail in our ability to rightly divide the Word of truth. Number five. 2 Timothy chapter 20, chapter 2, verses 20 and 21. But in a great house there are not only vessels of gold and of silver. The metaphor there is vessels and gold and silver, and also of wood and of earth, and some to honor and some to dishonor. If a man therefore purge himself from these, he shall be a vessel unto honor, sanctified and meet for the master's use, and prepared unto every good work. vessel. It's literally us. It's literally who we are and what we are. We are looked at, Paul here is using the metaphor vessel to represent us, ourselves. We must cleanse ourselves from all iniquity. Basically what he's talking about here. Purge, literally to clean out, to do away with all of impurities. Meat, literally useful. How useful are we? How useful do we use our vessel? Do we use it for good or for evil? We are to be sanctified, literally made holy by the Master, by Jesus Christ. How are we sanctified? How are we made holy? By study and understanding that we are cleansed by the blood of Christ. Lastly, in verse 24, we see here a servant. And the servant of the Lord must not strive, but be gentle unto all men, apt to teach. Here we go again. Study to show thyself approved, so that you can be apt to teach, able to teach. A servant. A servant cares for others more than self. The word strive there literally is to quarrel, to fight. It is to, you know, it's anger, being argumentative. We all know those type of people, don't we? They're not happy unless they're arguing with somebody. Let us not be that type of person. We're to be patient. We're to be tolerant, apt, skilled in teaching, willing to teach. Now granted, you know, not everyone can stand up like this and preach. Not everyone can teach a Bible class. And not everyone is able to teach so in someone's home the gospel. But we can try to find help so that that soul may be saved. A servant. And the servant of the Lord must not strive. We must not quarrel. We must not fight. We must not be angry all the time. Contentions, argumentative, threatening, confrontational. These are all the things that a servant of Christ cannot be. The job of a servant is to work and obey and not quarrel and fight and fuss. God has been plain, and he has even illustrated his words for us with figurative language. Our challenge is not so much in trying to understand all of these metaphors and all the figurative language, but it is in obeying what he said. That's our goal, to obey. Paul to Timothy is telling Timothy what a good servant will do. Christ give us the example. Let's live that example and be a servant to those that are around us. The invitation is yours. If you're here this morning and you're not a Christian and wish to be baptized and have your sins washed away,